The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, purify our hearts and draw us to you, and so guide us and use us, we pray, as you will, always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Create in us a clean heart and renewed right spirit. Lord, as we enter into this day, please give me the words that will provide a message in the hearts of everyone here. Lord, we thank you for your joyful presence in this place. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Good morning. Man, this place is exciting. You know, just what we're doing and the square dance, I mean, Kathleen Kay and I would never have thought of going to a square dance before we arrived, but that was a rousing thing last night, as well as the stunt show. That was just fantastic. Eric, thanks a lot for being who you are. You've got some character there. You've got a little bit to learn, but you got to be a little more native. You know, the program going on this evening, part of CFO is that stepping a little further out. And I guess I would encourage each of you to do that and perhaps consider even being a blesser tonight or being involved in healing. Because we're here to stretch ourselves a little bit. So don't be afraid. Step forward. Step forward. Now today, I guess we need to remind ourselves of what I've been talking about for the last couple of times, and that is, and you can say this with me this time because you already know what it's going to be. I am still as God created me. And that is very good. Now point to your neighbor and let's do it another way. You are as God created you, and that is very good. We are as God created us, and that is very good. All right. I guess my beginning today or the passage that we're going to talk about today is stillness and silence. So the passage comes from Psalm 46, which we're all so familiar with, and we see it. We've already said it many times. It's on the wall out here. It's be still and know that I am God. Now, how many of you remember the comedian half-hour series called The Beverly Hillbillies? All right. Oh, good. This is great. Because those of you who don't, you can just imagine this person. Remember Granny in that picture? Huh? Remember Granny? Granny was this old grandmother who was, be careful your words, David, who was probably at most 83 pounds, but she was a powerhouse of energy. Now, I want you to picture a stagecoach with six riding fierce horses just charging across the desert. And in that stagecoach, as it's dustily bumping along, there's Grandma, and the stage is just going and going, and it's not stopping. That's the way I am many times. I've got a pile of horses that are just hauling me along, And the stagecoach, that's my head. And that's me inside of it. And there's nobody driving the stagecoach at all. It's just me out there going crazy for another day. How many of us do that every day? Now, we're going to square you away on that today. I'm going to tell you how I do it. And then maybe you'll have your own idea, because we all have our own ways of approaching this. But that picture, just how those six horses drive us without a driver every single day. And what's that that's driving those horses? What are those horses? What are they symbolizing? To me, they symbolize that ego again that we talked about, that edging God out. I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what others think I am. I am separate from everybody else. I am separate from what I think is important and missing in my life. And I am separate from God. Now, when I start my day, little things start popping into my head. First, it's time to get up. I have to go to the bathroom. And then it starts to build from there. What am I going to have for breakfast? Am I going to have Cheerios or am I going to have Wheaties today? I have to think about my cholesterol, and we have to worry about our health. And then I get into the shower, and that's when it really starts to percolate. Oh boy, all the things of the day. What am I going to do? I got this meeting and I've got that thing to do, and if it rains today, I won't be able to mow the lawn. And it just keeps on building. Well, finally you get for breakfast and you at least get to have a meal. But what are you doing in that meal? Well, you're having their breakfast and you're reading all that wonderful news that happened yesterday. That great newspaper that has nothing but positive things to tell me about the world. This world isn't falling apart. It already has. I read about it every day. Oh. And then I'm just building on that and building on that all day. And that's how sometimes I see my life. Where's it going if that keeps building like that? What do I need in my life? Why do we as people get so complicated by these things? I mean, Jesus told us to, and it comes out of Matthew that look at the lilies of the field, how they do not toil or spin, and even the, I'm not going to give you an exact quote, but even the radiance of Solomon is not as great as the array of each one of these flowers. I mean, a flower has a state of aliveness to it. I mean, it comes up in the morning and it just opens up to God every day, and it just takes in all that flower can take in from our Lord. Boy, we have a hard time doing that. Now, yesterday, when we were in the field doing rhythms, we had, at the end of rhythms, we had all surrounded ourselves, and we were all locked in our arms, and Heather was teaching us how to trust each other with our weight. And as we had this circle, we were tight enough where we could actually let yourself go a little bit and just kind of weave around a little bit. And as we were doing that, just before we concluded, Anne said, "This is like a kelp bed in the ocean where it just flows back and forth and flows back and forth. Very peaceful. We were all very much at peace during that." Well, that reminded me of my scuba diving days. And some of my friends here have been scuba diving with me before. And scuba diving is a very special sport. And we're going to show we get ready for that and how it has kind of a nice meaning to how we crowd our lives with so much. So how do we go about scuba diving? How many of you have been scuba diving before? Well, I have to take my shoes off. I'm not going to dig. But before you scuba dive, you have to get yourself ready to scuba dive. And that means putting on a bunch of stuff. So how do we start? Well, we start with what's called a wetsuit. Now, since scuba diving in Maine needs to be really well taken care of, because our quarters in Maine are extremely cold, that we start with putting on this heavy, heavy-duty wetsuit. So we start with these big old pants, and we start by pulling them up. First you get that first leg on, then you put that second leg on, and you pull those babies up, pull them up. Tighten them up best you can. Tighten them up, and you get that first shoulder on. And you get that other shoulder on. And you zip them up. Zip. And you suck in again. Zip. And suck in again. And you get that first set of pants on. Now you put these little booties on. You get your booties on before you put the rest on. And these little booties will keep your feet warm. You don't want your feet too cold. And then you fit these booties on, they kind of zip right up. You put the other one on, that zips up. Now we're ready to put the jacket on. Now the jacket is kind of tight. These things are supposed to be tight. They let water in, but not too much. You put that jacket on, it's like a rubber suit. And you pull that other side on, and you stretch. This is good for stretching. This will be a good rhythm program. And you bring that jacket in. Now you're feeling kind of snug. It's got a zipper. And you suck that in. You're getting tight. You suck that in. And now you're all the way to the top. Now, these little wetsuits have a flap. And you have to pull that flap up. Pull that flap up. And you buckle it in. And you buckle it in. Oh, now we're in this part. Now we have to put a hood on. Protect our head. So we put on this hood. It's all the way over us. So now only about this much is showing. All our skin is just about done. We're going to zip up our arms. We don't want to put our gloves on yet. But we'll put our flippers on. You need flippers to get yourself around. Put a flipper on that leg. Put another flipper over here. Oh, now you're kind of awkward. And as awkward as you are, you have to take on about 50 pounds of weight. Grab on that weight belt, because you got to get yourself down there. And you're not going to get yourself down unless you got weight to take you there. You put this weight up on you. Think about all this weight. Snap that on you. Now you're kind of bent over a little bit. And you've got to take on more, though. You have to take on a life vest. You get your life vest. And take that on. Get that off. Nice and bright colored. Zip that up. Now this is the one that has a little pull cord. So if you get underneath there and you've got trouble, you pull that cord and you're up like a shot. So we've got that on. Now we're going to put this heavy, heavy tank on. Look at all this weight. Why do we need this? But that's our air. So we're gonna struggle with that. That's a bit of a struggle, and we're gonna kind of keep it up there, get it on, and we're gonna snap it up in the front. Now we're really bent over. A little guy like me might weigh another 110 pounds by this time. We've got this little regulator coming over, and we only have a few things left now. Okay, we got to get these gloves on. Got to get those fingers in that glove and pull them up nice and tight. Get that other one on there. You want to cover everything. Now we want to know how deep we're going, of course, and what our temperature of the water is. Of course, we need all these things in our life. So we're going to get that little depth gauge on there. Then we're going to want to know where we're going. So we're going to put a compass in on this side over here. And we're going to get our mask up here. Got to have a mask. Put that over. Now we're ready to go. Oh, I'm getting sweaty just talking about this. We get ourselves over the side of the boat, and we're ready. And over we go. And now we're in a different world. A different world altogether. Absolutely alive. And as we work our way, or I work my way down through the water, you get this little feeling of you breathe in, and you just kind of go up a little bit. You breathe that out, and you go down a little bit. And just slowly sinking your way to the bottom. And when you get down to the bottom, oh, this is something. There's so much to see here. I'm not worried about what I was thinking about this morning. I'm not worried about my job. I'm not worried about anything, because right now I am 100% right here, and I'm 100% alive. And the kelp beds might be rocking back and forth, and there might be some fish that are swimming around. And I'm just slowly working my way through. That's what it's like to be alive with Jesus. And every day, I put that wetsuit on, and I get more and more weight strapped on me, and I go out into the world. And what I'm trying to do is not have that much on me. Not to have that weight on me, but to try to find some way of stilling that. What I do is I get up early in the morning. Kathleen with a K has no problem with that. I get up very early in the morning, just find that's a good time for me. Everyone has a different time of day. But there are 24 hours in a day, and we need to spend some time with our Lord. When we look and we say, where are our priorities? Cannot we find a half an hour of our day to devote to a little bit of quiet time, a little bit of stillness? Because it's that stillness where you find God. You won't find God racing in the back seat of that stagecoach going down the highway, wondering, help, help. You're going to find God in a quiet time. And that's where I find God, this time in the morning. So I get up quietly, I take my shower, and now I'm ready for spending a little bit of time. And that time is really for me, and it's different for everybody. But for me, it's a time of quietly letting the presence of God fall into my life. And the only way that I can really feel the real presence of the Lord, who wants to love me and to be part of me, is when I let go to that presence. And it's just a powerful time, and I let His presence within me, and I do it through a practice called centering prayer. Now, usually, for years, I felt that, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes is enough to sit quietly. Now, with centering prayer, which is something that comes out of, it's Thomas Keating, if you've heard that name, it's a process where he has developed it or writes books about it. But centering prayer is a 20-minute quiet time where you just you let your mind, you hear, you can't shut off. I can't shut off my mind. I can't tell my mind, stop and meditate by just, I don't have a mind, it's gone. I have a mind. I have a body, you have a body. And you have a mind and I have a mind. So you can't stop breathing because you'll die. And you can't stop thinking because you just can't. There are always things washing in and out. But what you can do in a quiet time when you find stillness, when we see it so much we have right here, when we have our quiet meditation this morning, you have that period of time where you let the thoughts wash in and wash out. That's how I do it. Let them wash in and wash out. And it takes a little time, a little experience, but the Lord will take care of that. So all those thoughts are just washing through and therefore allowing the presence. And I just find through that process for me, I can never find Jesus in my heart until I have the heart of Jesus. And I'm not going to have the heart of Jesus until I give him time to come within me. And that's very important. And that's how I've managed to find that quietness. And we need to find that quietness, I think, every day. Is there more to that? Jesus really, when you find yourself in that place and when Jesus was teaching, his disciples kept asking him, show us, Lord, how do we get there, or what are we to do, or what is the way? And then Jesus said, I am the way. You have to be accepting. You have to be in a frame of mind to hear him say that. And then they said, well, where do we find that? Where do we find this kingdom that you talk about? And what did Jesus say then? The kingdom is within you. And that's where I find him, is within me. I don't find him outside of me. He's not all those stories that we've all told, that we all have. Jesus is right in here. He's always been there. He's still there. We all have to take, and I know I do, have to take time to find him and get away from all that extraneous stuff that's on the outside. So what we've talked about here for the last couple of days is that vocal bird. What we've talked about here the last couple of days is really the fact that Jesus was perfect and God created him. And God created me. And if Jesus is perfect, and I can believe that, then I'm perfect. I am a perfect being living in a perfect world, governed by a perfect God. Amen. That's kind of how we started, very beginning here. And through stillness and through listening, as Kathleen with a K and I talked about last time, is that we need to open the channels, and I have found through opening those channels and constantly going back and reopening those channels that the presence of God will come into me, it'll come into you, and life gets a lot more cheery. And that's why CFO is such a wonderful, wonderful concept that was brought out. And when Glenn Clark brought this whole thing to us back in 1929, I mean, imagine that he met up with somebody who had the idea of the creative art. And then he went out to this island, Monhegan Island, off the coast of Maine, and that's where really Rhythms was created, because he met with a person there that was, and he spent some time out there. And of course, that's where the thought of the island for the Stout concept became camps for the Stout. But also, he was there for a period of time and developed this listening to God to develop this wonderful program that we have today. So, God bless you all. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to stand before you. Each one of you have your own stories to tell. You have your own roles that you play, just like I have been here. So I encourage you, and Joe and I have had a wonderful experience doing this ourselves, really, for the first time. And I'm sure, Ruth, every time you get up and speak, you just feel the blessing of what it's like. And there's so much you can get out of it. So, God bless you all, and thank you very much.